We turn in the Word of God tonight to Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4. In our small congregation, we do not have the opportunity often to celebrate together the sacrament of baptism. If we did, we would hear quite a few different sermons on the calling of parents to instruct their children in the fear of God's name. But since we don't have that occasion, I felt that it would be a wise thing for us to hear about that calling anyway. So we're going to preach on a passage of that sort out of Deuteronomy 4. We're going to read the first 14 verses of this chapter. "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep, therefore, and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go over to possess it." This far we read God's word tonight. Our text is found in verse 9. "Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." The nation of Israel had finally reached her destination, the promised land. It would not be long now before God would destroy her enemies before her, and she would enter into the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. Many things, great and marvelous, had happened to this nation while she wandered in the wilderness. 40 years God had preserved his people, feeding them with bread from heaven and with water out of the rock. Their clothes had not worn out. Their shoes were as good as the day that they left the land of Egypt, and their clothing, too, did not become threadbare. God had given her laws at Mount Sinai and had made her into a great nation, a theocracy, that is, a nation ruled by God Himself. He had spoken His laws and His statutes of the Ten Commandments to the church in the base, or at the base of Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai, in the wilderness. Regular worship was now being conducted among the tribes of Israel, because a tabernacle had been built also at that time. And now finally God had brought the children of Israel to the brink of the land of Canaan. Before entering into that land, Moses wrote and then also read the words that he wrote here in the book of Deuteronomy. And in it he outlines briefly just some of these highlights that we called attention to tonight throughout the various chapters of this book of the Bible. What was the purpose in recording all of these events? We find that out in verses 5 and 6 of the chapter we read tonight. "Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." It is in this light, or it is in light of this, that Moses gives the admonition now of the Word of God before us tonight. God's people, once they had entered into this promised land, the land of Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey, must take diligent heed to themselves. And they must not forget the things that God had done for them as a nation in delivering them out of the land of Egypt and in preserving them through the travels in the wilderness. And more, they must see to it that these things that they do not forget must be taught to their children and their children's children. The concern Moses expresses in this command is for the covenant. God had established that covenant in the line of the generations of Abraham. And God would maintain and preserve His friendship and fellowship with this nation in their generations by way of teaching their children diligently the precepts and the statutes of God. What was true then is still the case today in the Church of Jesus Christ. Parents of the church are called to teach their children in God's ways and in God's statutes. And in that way, God chooses to preserve His covenant in the line of generations. We take particular note of the fact that this commandment that Moses gives to the children of Israel and to the church today is this: teach your children. Emphasis falls tonight on that word, teach. Parents must give their children sound instruction in the precepts and in the gracious ways that God deals with His people. For that reason, we call our attention to this particular command of God in the word before us. Teach them thy sons. Teach them thy sons. In the first place, a consistent instruction that must be given to our children. Secondly, a spiritual requirement of us as parents if we're going to give that instruction to our children. And then finally, a blessed result. There are a multitude of things a child must learn from the moment he is born to the time he becomes a mature individual and leaves the home of father and mother. He must learn about himself, who he is, and what his purpose is in this life. He will need to learn about the family and how to establish a family of his own. He will need to learn proper dating habits, young people. The proper relationship between a husband and a wife, and what we are learning tonight, that is, the calling of a father and a mother in the home as well. A child will need to learn about his place in the church, his place in society at large, and his calling in the workplace. He will need to learn how to work and then how to use his earnings as a good steward of the money that the Lord gives him. He will need to learn how to enjoy God's good creation and what God has given him in life without abusing it. That is, he must need to learn to seek out proper forms of entertainment and recreation, which would avoid leading him into the way of sin. And with all of these, much more, a child will have to learn proper spiritual attitudes toward everything that takes place in his or her life. Child must be taught to be industrious, not to be lazy. He must be taught to be respectful toward elders and those in authority, courteous toward others, not rude, self-confident in the good sense of the word, of course, and disciplined in his or her life. A child will have to learn how to deal with other people. He will need to learn steadfastness, honesty, and wisdom while dealing with the matters of his or her life. What we are saying, people of God, is this: everything that our children are and everything that they become in this life are shaped and molded by the instruction that parents give to them in the home. Our children, when they grow up, for the most part, will become what they learn. And that learning takes place the very moment that they are born into this world. And though it will continue throughout life, most of that learning takes place when they are still children or even young people who are under the hand and authority of father and mother yet in the home. The vast majority of that learning takes place before they have reached the years of maturity and are able now to think for themselves. And in all these matters of life and many, many more, children must be taught. And that's the task that falls upon the shoulders of father and mother in the home. What a serious, almost frightening task falls on the shoulders of mothers and fathers in the home. And our children sitting here tonight will realize that only when they grow up and they become fathers and mothers themselves in their own homes. And that's what makes it even the more urgent and serious. There is never a time in the life of a child that he's not learning. It's not as if, for example, that child is an empty glass which we take and we place on a shelf. And then when we want to fill it a little bit, we take it off the shelf and fill it up a little bit and put it back on the shelf and it stays the same. Until which time we reach out and we take it and we fill it a little bit farther with water and take it on the shelf. That's not our children. Our children are constantly learning all the time. There's not a moment in their lives that they are not learning, their waking lives, that they are not learning. They are glasses that are constantly being filled. And if parents are not filling them, then someone or something else will be filling them. And it is on that basis that parents receive the command of our text tonight, teach them thy sons. Now, it's true. Deuteronomy here speaks of teaching sons and sons' sons. But oftentimes in the Hebrew, when speaking of sons, included in that is daughters. So teaching our sons and our sons' sons also include teaching our daughters and our daughters' daughters, if we can speak in those terms. Or, more generally, we have to teach our children and then our children's children. In other words, this goes on from one generation to the next generation. And not only must we teach them once or twice, fill that glass and then put it aside, we must always be teaching them. Teach, and the idea here of the Hebrew is keep on teaching your children. It's striking that in the Hebrew language there are actually 8 different terms that in the English are translated teach. And each one of those terms have their own different nuance that belong to the whole realm of teaching. Hebrews must have taken instruction rather seriously. There's 8 different terms that they use to teach their children. The term that's used in our text literally means to cause one to know by means of repetition. Cause one to know by means of repetition. Cause one to know by means of constantly turning one's mind to something in order that he might become thoroughly acquainted with it. The instruction or teaching are to turn our attention to something or someone constantly, over and over again. Fathers and mothers, we are called to cause our children to know. Know what? Well, know how to conduct themselves in a God-fearing and in a spiritual way in everything that we mentioned just prior to this moment. In everything. We must, through objective instruction, through teaching, through the words that we speak now to our children, impart to them knowledge of how to deal with everything in their life in a godly manner. That's how teachers work in the classroom, or at least a teacher that's worth his or her while. They're out to teach those students everything about that subject. And to do that in a way, in such a way, that those students have a thorough knowledge, a logical knowledge of that subject. Well, the instruction that parents are to give to children must be that same thing, a thorough, consistent instruction so that they are able to see and understand how in every circumstance of life they are to live a life of godliness. There are all kinds of ways of teaching our children, you know. We could teach our children by way of our example. We teach our children by way of admonition and discipline. We teach our children by way of leading them. Well, this particular term points to the fact that you and I, as parents, are called upon to teach our children objectively the truths of God's Word and how they apply to all of life. From infancy on, all the essentials of daily living and how to do that in a godly way. As I said, that is quite the task. This instruction is called to be given by word of mouth. It must be done, first of all, in a formal way. Formal instruction needs to be given our children in the home, a time when the family as a whole or as individuals of the family, can sit down and be taught by mother or by father or by both. There's no doubt about it. Later on, the church assists mothers and fathers in that objective instruction in the Word of God as well. When we send our children to catechism class and they learn all of the Bible stories and all of the history of the Old and New Testament and the doctrines of this Christian church. So there is this whole area of instruction given in a rather organized and a specific manner. But this teaching includes more than that too. It includes the many different times that arises in the life of every person and every child within the home of their parents when the parents are able informally to speak with their children and teach them what to do in the various given situations that might arise in their lives. For example, when our children are very small and just cannot seem to sit still in church but have to wiggle around all the time, and then they like to talk to themselves while they're sitting there in church, we as parents have an opportunity to teach our children, and given, of course, their age, also to instruct them as to why we go to church and why we as parents make them sit in church and listen to that long sermon that the preacher is preaching and why we have to go to church two times every Sunday. We are able, given the situation on hand, to teach our children those things. Or when perhaps a little bit older, and our children come home complaining about a fellow classmate, or worse, complaining about a teacher, we teach them how to conduct themselves in a proper Christian manner with humility and with respect toward others. So let's face it, these kinds of situations are countless in the life of our children as they're growing up in the midst of our homes. And we as parents must talk with our children. We must talk with them. We must communicate with them. A communication that will last a lifetime if we can't communicate properly with them as children, and especially communicate with them as young people, so that they become reliant on us as mother and father to seek wise advice from us and not advice from peers. Situations of this sort arise often in our lives, and even in those years of a child's life, a parent must be there always instructing them by telling them what their proper behavior must be in any given situation. And then through repetition, through constant, consistent turning their minds to these things, the light bulb goes on. And they begin to understand now what mom and dad have been trying to emphasize to them throughout their whole life. By repeated instruction, reminders over and over again in their lives, they will become thoroughly acquainted with what they need to know as far as conducting a spiritual life in this world. Now, this instruction that we give to our children also has content. You'll notice that we made sure that that was included in our theme tonight. Teach them in these things. Our text teaches parents to teach them thy sons. Them. We must teach them to our children. Well, what is this them that is spoken of here in the Word of God before us tonight? Verses 7 and 8. Of the chapter, the verse just preceding now our text tonight. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Here's the content of the instruction we give our children. We must teach them the statutes and the judgments of God. We must teach them who our God is, that he is our God, that we are his people, and that he, as our sovereign God, has established his fellowship with us. We teach our children of God's covenant, and that necessarily, without a doubt, implies we teach our children about Jesus Christ and the cross. God would have no fellowship with us if it were not for the cross of Jesus Christ. We're wretched sinners, every one of us. There's instruction that we should give to our children. We're sinners, and we need the cross. It is by means of that cross that Christ has reconciled us to God, and he has done that by freely justifying you and me in his blood, that is, taking away our sin and our guilt. He has done that, people of God, by means of his death on the cross. He paid the price there for our sin. He took away our guilt. And freely we have been made righteous before God. What a wondrous work God has performed for you and me in our lives. Teach that to your children. What a wondrous work God has done in saving us from our sin. We were blinded in our sin, lost in unbelief. And God, by his grace, has reached out and delivered us from that unbelief and opened our eyes to see the things of his kingdom. What a wonderful blessing that is. Teach that to your children, the ways of Jehovah. And then teach them as well to lead a life of thankfulness for that salvation that God has freely given us. And to lead that life of thankfulness by walking in God's commandments and in his statutes. We teach our children, don't we, the commandments of our God, and we tell them, listen, you please your heavenly Father who has saved you. You please him by walking in the way that he wants you to walk, and that is in the way of his commandments. That has to be the content of the instruction that we give to our children. When I say that, I do not mean, people of God, that all day long, every day, we have to do nothing but talk about the Bible. That's a rather pious way of looking at life in this world, that we as parents and children in the home they talk about nothing else in life but about the Bible. That's all. We don't have to do that either. What I mean by that is the precepts and the principles of God's word and commandments must permeate life. And what we teach our children, it guides us in what we say and we do in the home and in the family. And we apply that very practically in the life of our children in order to teach them. Do we wish God to continue to gather his church here in this place? Then we as parents ought not to neglect this aspect of our calling to teach our children. If there is no instruction that is given in the home, formally, as well as informally, if we do not teach our children what salvation from sin is, and if we do not teach them the ways of God, then God may be gracious to our children, but we certainly may not expect them to grow up and love God. If there has been no formal instruction given by mother to her little children when they are at home, when father does not take time out to read and pray and talk about scriptures with them, then they ought not to expect anyway their children to continue to walk in the ways of God. But instruction in God's precepts and ways doesn't stop there either. The parent must be wise. He and she or she must be able to take the wisdom of God's word now and apply it to the various circumstances of their children's life. When my little child rebels against my authority as a parent or the authority of someone else over them in life, then there's nothing wrong, I suppose, with sitting my child down and reading him a passage of the Bible and saying, see how this passage applies. That's not really very practical, is it? When a child rebels against authority, first thing is to administer a spanking. And then to take that child and apply the word of God to him or her in his life. Failure to spank the child is not practical wisdom. When my child is having troubles with a classmate at school, it may be nice to sit down and read a passage of the Bible to him, but a parent ought to be practical, and he must tell that child, listen, this is what you must do in that given situation. You could tell him about Christian virtues very well, but we had better tell him how those virtues come into play specifically in that particular situation. We must teach our children God's precepts when they do wrong. We must teach them God's word when they need advice. We must teach them the principles of Scripture when they are groping for guidance and direction. Always we must be teaching them, and do that in a very wise and do that in a very practical way in our homes and families. The only way it is possible to do this, however, the only way that that is possible is, first of all, to follow the admonition of the first part of the Word of God before us tonight. We read there, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. There's the main body of the Word of God before us this evening. Instruction of children begins with ourselves, parents. If we do not care for ourselves spiritually, then we are not going to take care of our children spiritually either. And that's why the admonition. Now, the terms keep or to take heed are actually the same word in the Hebrew, so we can use them interchangeably here in the Word of God before us tonight. We must take heed to ourselves by diligently heeding to our souls. We must keep ourselves by keeping diligently our souls. Those words are interchangeable, you see. So the idea behind this admonition is this: constant tending to ourselves. That's how we keep ourselves, by constantly tending to ourselves. Farmer must diligently and constantly be tending to his crops. That's his job. That's his task as a farmer. Not a good farmer unless you tend to your field. He must water it, must see to it that it's weeded. He has to guard it from wild animals or from blight. and so on. And in that way, he's attending to, he is diligently keeping or taking heed to his field or his crops. And such attention, parents too must give themselves spiritually. They must tend to themselves. And we do that as far as our spiritual lives are concerned, parents. This we do by keeping before our hearts and minds what God has done for us in our salvation. That's where it starts. We could teach these things to our children, but if we don't have them in our own hearts, we're not teaching our children much. In fact, if we don't have it in our hearts, we usually don't even teach it to our children. Look at what God has done for me in my life. Look at the salvation that he has given to me as a man, as a woman, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother. Look what God has done for me in delivering me from my sin, taking away my guilt, freely justifying me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Look what God has done for me in accepting me into his fellowship and favor and taking away the blindness of my unbelief in my own life. How thankful I am. And in that thankfulness, I strive to keep God's statutes. We must become wise in the ways of God and continue developing in those ways. If we fail to do that for ourselves, then we will fail our children too. That means we must always busy ourselves in things spiritual. In the church, in the home, in society at large. When we do, then God blesses us. When we do not, then we begin to slide, and with that, the instruction of our children begins to slide too. That which we must care for in our own lives is our souls. Moses tells us here, the soul is the psychological aspect of our being. It's not the body. It's what goes on inside of us, what makes us tick. Our soul is our thoughts and our desires from within. And we must always, therefore, be tending to, taking heed to, or keeping our thoughts and our desires in this life. When we become worldly minded and begin to make idols out of the things of this present life, our children are going to do that even more. If we do not tend to our own spiritual lives, then our children will have a tendency to take less interest in these same things in their lives. Our desires must be pure. Our thoughts must be focused on the things of God's kingdom, and our lives must center in the truth of God's word. That's where we must be as parents. Because it is only in this way that our homes will then be established as a place of truth. Remember, our children are always learning, beloved saints. They're always learning at all times. And that never ceases. And Satan is looking for every opportunity that he can find to take over our place and teach our children. He's looking for that opportunity. He thrives on the spiritual neglect of parents in their own lives and in their own homes. And when we fail in our own lives and then fail to instruct our children, Satan is immediately there And he sends forth his ally, the wicked world around us, and he uses them, the wicked, to teach us the godless principles of this present world around us. As soon as we open up ourselves to this world, then Satan enters in. As soon as we open up our homes and our children themselves, therefore, to this world, Satan enters in. And he teaches. Even when we open that door just a little bit, the world of unbelief begins to infiltrate into that home, wiggle into that home, starts to teach us and our children. And Satan uses every means at his disposal too, don't forget. He uses the books and the magazines of our godless world to teach. He uses our television sets to teach. He uses computers and smartphones and, of course, in particular, the internet to teach. He's there. Satan is there. And he's ready always to teach. And what he teaches us is the godless thinking of our present society. Promiscuity, violence, swearing, improper relationships in the home and family, unbelieving philosophy about this life, relativism. It's all there. It's all there. And Satan is ready and willing to teach us all of these things when we, as parents, do not take heed to ourselves in the home and in the family. And when that's done, then as parents, we're giving our children over unto the gods of this world. And that is as heinous of a sin as Manasseh offering up his own children in the fire as a human sacrifice to other gods. Parents who do not take heed to themselves and diligently attend to their own souls ultimately give up their children as sacrifices to the heathen idols of the day. That's what happens. Take heed to thyself and keep diligently thy soul. That's the admonition that the Word of God ultimately gives to parents today. Now, the blessed result is given us in the passage that we have before us, but it's given to us in the negative, and therefore only by way of implication. Here's what Moses tells us. Take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. All those wonderful things that you saw in the wilderness, and God's care in preserving you, children of Israel, you'll forget them all. And when you forget them, then they're not part and parcel of your heart anymore. And when they're not part and parcel of your heart anymore, you won't teach them to your children. So take heed. Take heed. If we do not take heed to our souls, then we ourselves will forget those things which our eyes have seen of what God has done for us. And they'll depart from our hearts all the days of our lives. And I've seen it. Seen it in my own ministry. Many a young God-fearing parent has begun with good intentions, only to end up spiritually shipwrecked later on in life because he or she is forgotten. And that because they did not take heed to themselves, but they allowed their own carnal desires to get the better of them and to follow after these things. And as a result, as time passes, one slowly is no longer passionate for the things that God has done for him. He himself forgets, his soul slips, his heart turns, and he begins to live for the earthly and not the spiritual anymore. And that in turn has its effect on the instruction of his children because he no longer is interested in teaching them at that point. For lack of knowledge, families, and ultimately the church institute, is destroyed. God's covenant that he establishes only with believers and his candlestick is removed from that church that has forgotten him and the families of that church as well. However, that negatively, on the flip side, when Christian parents take heed to watch over their own souls, they will teach their children to do that too. And their children will grow up and also will confess God and live in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And then when finally they become parents themselves, that's when it really strikes them. Oh, what my parents had to put up with me as a kid. And now my kids are doing the same thing. And I have to deal with it as a parent. But this is how my father and mother dealt with me as a child. And that's how I'm going to deal with my children as well. And then God continues to preserve his covenant in the line of generations. Parents, teach your children and your children's children the statutes of our God. Then we will see the truth of God prevail in our homes and families, and we'll see it prevail here also in our church. And when that prevails, then we will also see peace upon Israel. Amen. Our gracious and eternal Father, we are grateful unto thee that thou dost in thy grace preserve thy church. When we look at the instruction of our text tonight, we truly can say how weak we are as parents. We do not take enough heed to ourselves. And for that reason, we don't take enough heed to our children then either. And we allow things to slip. We're sorry, Father, for those failures. And we pray that thou wilt be gracious and not cut us off because of our own weaknesses as parents, but that thou wilt in grace continue to save our children using our weak means to fulfill thy will. Father, wilt thou dwell in our midst as a church and as families too, some young beginning to raise children, some now beginning to raise children in their teenage years. Father, give unto us grace to do that in a humble way, acknowledging our own sins, acknowledging our own salvation in the cross so that our children can see that in us, and may they learn these thy precepts and thy ways. Wilt thou grant unto us thy grace now also in this week to come, that we might take this word and put it into effect in our own lives. Hear our prayer. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.